Hey, can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? Father, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, we also focus on why he was born. We understand your perfect sacrifice. Our Lord and Savior was sent here to set us free. And his perfect sinless body was beaten and bruised for us. And he took violent stripes upon his back for our healing. And his body was pierced, and he shed blood all over the place on purpose for us. And then he got on that cross, and he took all of our sins. He took all of our sicknesses, all of our weaknesses. He took every part of the curse for us. And set us free. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being. In Jesus' name. We thank you for the blood of God that was shed from your Son Jesus to wash away our sins, to put us into right standing with you, justify us, and set us free. And it's because of that blood that we can go boldly into your presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to have a candlelight service Christmas Eve. Ain't my idea. Here, 7 o'clock. Yeah. I just got told that. So that's what we're going to do. So, we'll get some candles, and God will tell me how to proceed from there. So, if it's inconvenient for you, tell him. So, Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock, be here, be square. Let's open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to carry on with our what we studied last Sunday, but Luke chapter 2, verse 11, part of that. You realize that everything about the New Testament is basically a Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Christ every day. Every day. The resurrection. Everything is about Him. Without Him, there nothing is. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The angels were getting pretty excited here. But they showed up. Verse 10. The angel said unto them, fear not. Well, let's start verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now there's a lot of things going on in there. And if we just rely on Western traditions, we're going to miss out on a whole bunch. Remember, whenever you're reading the Bible, it's important to understand something about the culture, something about the traditions, something about the geography, and the history. Now, it's not an insignificant thing that God was dealing with these shepherds. Remember, for the sins of the people, they had to have a pure, spotless lamb without blemish. Now, these sheep, these shepherds that they're talking about here, they weren't just raising common sheep. These were not common sheep that we're talking about. These shepherds were raising sacrificial lambs. Now, when these lambs get born, they're pretty rambunctious and they'll play around. And sometimes they'll crash and hurt themselves, which means they'd have a blemish and they would not be suited for sacrifice. So what these shepherds would do when these lambs were born, they would take them and wrap them in swaddling clothes and lay them in a manger. Now, a manger is a hewn out trough out of rock. So Jesus was laid in the same furniture when he was born as when he died. His tomb was a hewn out trough. He had the same bed when he went to rest as he was when he was born. These sheep herders, they had a watchtower up on a hill, and they could watch out over their flocks at night. And all these sheep would come to these barns, basically sheep motels, I call them. These shepherds, when they went to get them, they called their sheep out by name, and their sheep would follow them, and the voice of a stranger they would not follow. one of the biggest myths that is in our culture today is that Jesus was born in a barn because they were too poor to have to afford a motel. That's not true. At this particular time, everybody from that city had to go to that city. They had to make a pilgrimage to that city, which is why Joseph and Mary was riding on a donkey to get to this city so they could pay their taxes. Everybody had to go there. So the city was full. Remember, there was no room for them at the inn, so they had to go find somewhere to be because that baby was ready to be born. So they went there, and she gave birth to Jesus, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, just like the professional shepherds, and laid him in a manger. Our perfect sacrifice. This brought to end a lot of things. See, later on when Jesus grew up, he went to the temple and he tipped over the tables of the money changers. He said, "You've made mine house a den of thieves." Well, what was going on? Everybody had to go to the city with their sacrifice. They had to take a lamb, or the poor people could take a pigeon or a dove. And they had to go to this place with their sacrifice, and the priest would have to examine their sacrifice to make sure that this sacrifice had no blemishes. If that sacrifice passed, then they could go ahead and sacrifice that sacrifice for them, and the people could go on about their business. But what was happening was these sheep herders out back were raising these lambs, and when somebody came up with the lamb and the priest said, "This is not an acceptable sacrifice, but we have one that is, so we'll give you $50 for the one you got, and you can buy the one we have for $100. They take this one that they just bought for $50, run him out the back door, come back around the front door for the next guy that had one that wasn't acceptable, pay him $50 for the one he had, and sell him the one they just bought from the last guy for $50 for $100. That's what was going on. These were the original outlaw cattle traders. Jesus found that to be unacceptable. The old way of doing things was not working. God put his perfect sacrifice on this earth to set us free from that. Because every time people turned around, they failed because they could not keep the law. Amen. What was going on? When people would fail, they'd have the same feeling that Adam had in the garden. Condemnation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." He set us free from that condemnation. You know, one of the interesting things about science is there for a while they found out that stress caused sickness. So remember, there for a while when people would have some kind of sickness, they'd tell them to relax, take it easy, and don't do anything that causes stress. That was a big thing. Don't do anything that causes stress, because they decided that stress caused sickness. And then later on they decided that fear cause stress, which fear does cause stress. So then they decided that that was the root of these diseases and sicknesses, was fear. Part of it. Pretty cool. They're getting closer to the root, But that's not the root. See, when Adam sinned, it caused him stress. And he became afraid. That's why he hid himself from God in the garden. God said, Adam, he's walking in the garden. He said, Adam, wherefore art thou? As if God didn't already know where Adam was. He said, where are you at, Adam? What was going on? He's trying to get Adam to locate himself. He said, I saw that I was naked, so I hid myself. Why did he hide himself? Why was he afraid? Because he felt that condemnation in his heart. See, condemnation is one of the biggest enemies to the church that I can think of. When people make a mistake, they feel condemned. Sometimes other church people help them feel condemned. It's crazy. It sounds crazy, don't it? Yeah. But that's the truth. See, there's a thing in AA. I spend a lot of time around AA. And when somebody makes a mistake, there'll be four or five people go there and spend time with that person all day and all night. Help him to stay sober and help him to get back on path again. Make sure he has company all the time. Make sure he has something deep. Make sure he gets back on the path and gets going again. But they don't kill their wounded. Somehow, the church needs to learn that lesson. I've seen more people get whipped out of church because they made a mistake and the church made them feel so terrible because of it that they will. There's some people that will not darken the doorway of another church. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The Bible tells us in James to carry one another's burdens. You know, we need to go, when somebody makes a mistake, need to band around them and help them get back on path again, get back on track again. You know, Jesus did it for us. And Paul, he certainly didn't berate the Corinthians. Remember, he encouraged them. He reminded them of who they were. But he didn't bring them into condemnation. He told them who they were in Christ Jesus so he could set them free. See, we have no condemnation from God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 says, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, if you twist that scripture just a little bit, you can be a part of a certain denomination. But if you read it in the Spirit of God and understand what's going on, the one baptism they're talking about is being born again. See, the minute you get born again, you get baptized into Christ, and that is the one baptism that is needful for salvation. In fact, there are three baptisms that modern-day people need to be concerned with. Number one, the baptism into Christ. That's when you get born again. It has nothing to do with water. It just, you get brought into the body of Christ. That's something the church world needs to understand. You get born again, you didn't get born again a Catholic, you didn't get born again a Baptist, you didn't get born again a Methodist, you didn't get born again a nothing. You got born again into the body of Christ. Period. One body. There's one church. One church. Every born again believer is the body of Christ. That's the one body, the one church. That's the only church that's going to heaven. The body of Christ. Amen. Doesn't have a crazy name to it. The body of Christ. Amen. See, this is what it's all about. This is what the birth of Christ is all about. This is what the death of Christ is all about. One family of God in Christ Jesus. It took God over 2,000 years. It took him 2,000 years to get his Savior onto this earth. All the prophecies, all the prophets, all the scripture, that was everything they talked about, for the odds of all this stuff coming together were just astronomical. And all of a sudden, here's Jesus, born of a virgin. What's the odds of that? That's crazy odds. I've only heard of that happening one other time. It's a crazy story. But anyway, here's Jesus. No wonder these angels were celebrating. After all of this time, they got their Savior on this earth, right here, so that he could do what he's doing right now, setting people free, seeking and saving the lost. Amen. He defeated the works of the devil. You know, we talked about that hewn out manger that he was laid in when he was a baby in his swaddling clothes. He's laid in that manger. Some 33 years later, he was wrapped in linen and laid in a manger. The one man that was born to die. He was born to set us free. Now, the thing about covenants, see, everything we deal with today is all based on covenant. We're in the new covenant. We're in the new covenant. And Jesus is the head of this covenant. He is the one that makes things right for us. See, in the Old Testament, when they made a covenant, and the head of the covenant come up and made this covenant with somebody else, his seed for generation after generation after generation after generation after generation was part of that covenant, if they chose to be. When they got to be the age of accountability, they could go to the head of the covenant and they say, I choose to be in this covenant. That's why we say when children pass away, they go directly to heaven. If they haven't reached the age of accountability to choose one way or the other, they go directly to heaven, right into the arms of God. When you reach the age of accountability, then you must choose one way or the other. Amen? Now, once we get born again, we're in that covenant. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. If you ever want to read a chapter in the Bible that's going to frustrate the devil more than anything you can imagine, it's Romans chapter 8. It will set you free. You'll get revelation about you. You'll get revelation about Jesus. You'll walk in a whole new freedom. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, once you get born again, you can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. See, this is something that happened very, very rarely in the Old Testament. People didn't have that. There's prophets, a few prophets and a few priests that were led by the Spirit. Everybody else was just kind of wandering around, counting on the prophet or the priest to tell them what to do. Now, if you had a good high priest, things would go well for you. In fact, you can read in the Old Testament and you can find out that where there were times when the people were complete rat finks, But the priest was good, and it went well for the people. But then you can find places in the Old Testament where the people were good, but the priest was a rat fink, and it didn't go well for the people. Now Jesus has become our high priest. How do you suppose God sees him? Perfect. How does he see you? Perfect. He sees you perfect through a veil of the blood of Jesus. See, this is one of the things that Jesus become our sacrifice. When they would take a sacrifice to the high priest, and he'd examine him, and he'd say he's fit to be sacrificed. They go, they'd sacrifice, put him on the altar, that smoke would go up to heaven, and God would accept that sacrifice. That means the man was accepted, but it doesn't show you God was looking at the man. It said he's looking at the sacrifice. He's not looking at you. He's looking at Jesus. How he sees Jesus is how he sees you. Merry Christmas. That's the best Christmas present you're going to get. How he sees Jesus is how he sees you. In fact, he sees you through a veil of the blood of Jesus. Because you've been covered with the blood of Jesus. You've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. You're no longer recognized. You don't look the same as you did before you got born again. Amen? You're completely different. Now don't go stand in the mirror, sit there and look at yourself, say, I look the same as I did. I'm still the same old guy. You're not. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And the biggest of all biggest is you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it all boils down to. If the people were in right standing with God, they could expect to receive blessings under the old priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. If they weren't in right standing with God, then they could expect the curse to come on them. That's the Aaronic priesthood. Our high priest, Jesus, comes after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we're in right standing with God because of what he did. Now you can expect blessing upon blessing. That's why he came here. John 10:10 tells us that he came here that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Let's look at verse 2 of that verse, of that chapter. Romans chapter 8. And for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, we're under the law of the Spirit. See, we still have laws, but it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that has made us free from the law of sin and death. Now there's people, there's Christians that are trying as hard as they can every day. They go to church every time the door swings open, and they are afraid that if they make a mistake, then something bad is going to happen to them. See, that's they're what boils down to. They're afraid that if they make a mistake, that the curse is going to get on them. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 tells us that Jesus has set us free from the curse of the law. How is the curse going to come upon you if you're not keeping the law? It's not. So if you're afraid the curse is going to come upon you, then you need to stop and try to figure out what it is that you're doing to try to earn your righteousness before God. That's what it boils down to. Sometimes people think that there's a certain amount of things that they must do in order to maintain their salvation or somehow become righteous before God. You cannot do anything to cause yourself to be righteous before God. It's impossible. The only thing that we did was say, Jesus, be my Lord. Immediately you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Remember, everything is in Christ Jesus. The church is in Christ Jesus. We got baptized into Christ Jesus. Amen. He was born so that he could die, so that we could live in him. We're saved by grace. You're going to maintain your salvation by grace. My pastor used to say, take advantage of grace. Now, it's not sloppy grace. It's not stupid grace. You're relying on him. You're believing on him. The Bible tells us to believe on Christ, doesn't it? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. How do you do that? By believing what he did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. Find these new creation realities. Find these different things that he did for you that you couldn't do for yourself. And believe on him. The more you do that, the more you realize and understand what grace truly is. And then you'll realize just how much we celebrate Christmas every day. Not just once a year, but every day. We celebrate that birth of Christ every day. And in fact, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day. You better celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day. Because the Bible tells us if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You better celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day. Amen. You know, we need to address another thing about Jesus. With our Western culture and our traditions, it makes it almost sound like these magi that showed up. You know, they followed the star. That they find that almost makes it seem like they showed up when he was a baby. They didn't show up when he was a baby. It took them a while to get there. And they didn't just show up there with one or two camels. If you look at history and you look at what the historians wrote about that particular day, there was an entourage of camels. And they brought a lot of stuff with them. They brought not only frankincense and myrrh to prepare him for his death, but they brought gold, a lot of it, on them camels. Jesus was not broke. He was not broke. I don't know what he did with that money, but he really didn't need it because he was so prosperous to the point he could meet every need that needed to be met, whether it was healing, deliverance, food, whatever they needed, he had it right there. That's where he wants us to be. He wants us to realize the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Everything that you need can be met from within. Why? Because he's in there. See, he couldn't be in us until he got sacrificed on that cross. See, when Jesus was on this earth, he can only be in one place at one time. One place at a time. And his disciples, whenever they needed something, they go right to him. They could go right to the source. And it's Jesus right there said, what do we got to do? and he'd meet whatever need they had. But he prepared them and said, it's important for me to go away. But I'm not going to leave you orphaned. See, whenever a student in the Old Testament was studying under a high priest or under a priest, that student would listen to him. And if that priest died, then this student was orphaned. See, it's important to understand their traditions when they're talking about what's going on. He was letting us know we weren't going to be orphaned. He was going to die. And he's going to send a comforter to him, to them. So he sent Holy Spirit here, and he's here. He's everywhere all the time. There's no place on this earth that the Holy Spirit isn't. He's everywhere all the time. That student and his rabbi, when somebody wanted to compliment a student, they'd say, the dust of your rabbi is upon you. See, when the ruler took the disciples to court, they could understand that they had been in the presence of Jesus. They could see it on them. They could see that anointing on them. See, the dust of their rabbi was upon them. The dust of our rabbi is upon us. Jesus. You can see Jesus on people. You can see that anointing in people. I've seen people that weren't born again and they had a dead countenance. They'd get born again. And in a few days you'd see them. They'd have a certain glow. You can see that anointing of God. That's the life of God. The Zoe life of God. Igniting in them. Causing them to be alive from the inside out. He has anointing that he places in people. And this is a fun one. But women, when they get pregnant, they glow. They truly glow. And you can see that anointing in them. God gives mothers a special anointing to be a mother. So, I've seen women that hadn't, they're down, and there'd be a couple there, and I'd say, so when is this baby due? And they'd look, the women would look at the husband and say, I told you not to tell anybody. And he'd be looking like, I didn't say anything. They have an anointing. You can see the anointing in people. I've seen the anointing in pastors. You know, pastors sometimes walk around incognito. You know, they're like undercover. And I look at them and I say, where are you pastoring? And how did you know? And I'd see people that were supposed to be pastors. And they were trying to hide out. You can see that anointing. Why? That's the life of God on the inside of people. See, Jesus was born and he identified with us. They found him in the flesh of man. He identified with us so that we can identify with him. See, Jesus said a peculiar thing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he found himself in Scripture. We find ourselves in Scripture. See, this is why it's important for us to read the Bible. We go in there, we find ourselves. I've seen people that are going to go on sabbaticals or go do whatever, go on journeys, go find themselves. You know, really, you want to find yourself, grab one of these and sit in your easy chair and start reading. You'll find yourself. It talks about you all over in here. It's supposed to talk about Jesus. It does talk about Jesus all over in there. It talks about what Jesus did to you. It talks about who you are in Him. See, we got these identities. We got these driver's license. Somebody comes up and asks you for your ID. We whip out a driver's license if we're legal. Whip out a driver's license and so on and say, here, that's who I am. That's not who you are. That's your earthly identification mark. Who you are is a child of God. Amen. Who you are is a recreated human being. Your spirit. You're in this world. We got to deal with this world all the time, but we're not of this world. See, this is why Jesus could walk on water. This is why Jesus could do all these things, because He wasn't confined to the spaces of this world and this time. He's without beginning and without end. He is God. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. They're three separate entities, but they're one. This causes a lot of people a lot of challenges because they try to figure it out upstairs. And you're not going to. Nobody can figure it out up here. We just believe it in our heart. That shouldn't sound too crazy to anybody, should it? We believe we're born again in our heart, don't we? Everything else is going to happen the same way. We're going to believe it in our heart, and we're going to confess it with our mouth. See, Jesus was born of a virgin. Do you believe that? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Up here, it seems crazy, doesn't it? But we've heard it over and over and over again, so we believe it in our heart. Amen. The Word of God says it, so that's the way it is. We believe it in our heart. Amen. I think every day that we live, we celebrate the birth of Christ and we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We celebrate everything about Christ every day, because I'm going to tell you the truth. You might not know it, but your very existence depends on Him. Your very next breath depends on Him. Absolutely everything that you're ever going to do from now on is going to depend on Him. Your life is wrapped up in Christ. Amen. And it's because He lives. Our life is worth living now. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for Jesus, our good shepherd and our high priest, who causes all of our blessings to come to us. The Bible tells us that He ever lives to make intercession for us. That means He's praying for us to be in the right place at the right time so that we can receive the blessings that He died on the cross to give to us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.